Hello and a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate on Price TV, coming your way from our headquarters in Tehran. I'm your host, Tehran. The nation's security is the red line. Terrorists use bullets in Ahvaz. We answer them with missiles. That's the direct statement made by IRGC General Hajizadeh hours after Iran pounded the terrorists in Syria with ballistic missiles. Iran's leader had warned after a terrorist attack on a military parade in the city of Ahvaz last week that a terrorist will be punished soon. Well, Iran is saying it is serious in safeguarding its security and responding in kind if it comes under attack. Okay, now with that background report, let's start our debate today. In our panels to discuss, joining me our former American intelligence linguist, Scott Rickert, joining us from Tampa, and also Next Century Foundation Secretary General William Morris, who is joining us from London. Now, let's start with Scott in Tampa. Well, Tehran took action in retaliation for the Ahvaz terrorist attack, saying that it will keep fighting terrorism until it's uprooted. Now, let's have your reaction regarding Iran's response.
Well, I think it's a very strategic attack when you look at the use of missile technology and the accuracy in which this technology was used. And seriously, they attacked an enemy in which the United States was allegedly defending themselves against in eastern Syria as well. So in a sense, they actually assisted the Americans in their efforts to fight back ISIS. Unfortunately, it will not be portrayed that way in American media. But I think one of the more significant issues here is that this group allegedly took credit for the massacre in Iran. And let's be clear here, this was a terrorist attack in Iran. And many United States government officials, as well as the media, unfortunately, ignored the attack in Iran. And some American officials even lauded the attack against the Iranian military and civilians because of the fact that they were calling for some sort of violent revolution. So sadly, it's not being portrayed correctly in the United States government and media. And at the same time, Iran took a very effective and strategic response to a group that undeniably deserves to be wiped out, but may have been the cause of the attack. But certainly on Twitter and other social media accounts, they took responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, over to London now. William Morris. As you may know, this is the third time in about 1 year that Iran has fired ballistic missiles at terrorist groups. Like last year, Iran fired ballistic missiles into Syria over a bloody Daesh attack on Tehran. In September, Iran fired missiles into Iraq, targeting a base of Kurdish terror group for an attack that killed at least 15 Iranians and wounded over 50. Now, what does Tehran's response say about its seriousness in fighting terror groups that violate its security?
Well, it's very confusing, really. It's a confusing situation, and Iran has acted against somebody. The missiles it launched had a huge slogans painted down the side saying death to Israel, death to America, death to the Saudi monarchy. I don't know what Iran. I mean, these attacks took place in Ahvaz. There were two groups that claimed responsibility. One was an Ahvaz separatist group, and one was Daesh. Obviously, they cannot both have been responsible because
both of them claim responsibility.
Daesh hates or professes to hate Shiite Islam, and the Arabs of Ahvaz are Shiite themselves. So we have an extraordinary situation in which Iran is targeting a place where apparently a Daesh base, it would seem, and yet Daesh is the enemy of America, of Saudi Arabia, and of Iran. It's an interesting and confusing situation.
Now, why is it confusing, Mr. Morris? Because Daesh first came and accepted responsibility for that terror attack that hit the Iranian city of Ahvaz, and then came Ahvazia. Both of them claim responsibility.
Fine, but then why are you blaming America or Saudi Arabia? You can't have it both ways. Daesh's avowed enemies are America and Saudi Arabia and Iran. You all share an objective in getting rid of Daesh. So, you know, it is a confusing rhetoric coming out of Iran. It's quite bewildering, really.
Okay, let's go to Scott Rickard in Tampa. Scott, William believes that this is confusing. Let's have your comment on this.
Well, I can see where it may be confusing to many individuals who are either ignoring some of the facts or potentially not aware of some of the facts. Truly, the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Israel has been behind many of the combatants that have fought against the Syrian government. Those combatants have come and gone from countries all around the Middle East, as well as in former Soviet states, Tajikistan, Dagestan. You have folks that have come in from Caspian Sea regions that border Iran and also border Turkey. So this is just an interesting event where the U.S. has been behind a tremendous buildup of forces in the region alongside Israel, alongside UK and France and Saudi Arabia. And these individuals are well known in the Iranian public. And let's be clear here, too, the Americans, the Israelis, all of these individuals put things on their projectiles that they launch into their perspective theaters when they're going to wars. This is a common thing. And one of the six missiles happened to have something written on it. And the direct translation of what was written on it isn't necessarily death to the countries. It's absolutely calling out the victory of Iran over the individuals who are basically instigating and fomenting war, not only in Syria, but in the region. Obviously, Iran has been surrounded by a war with Afghanistan and certainly Iraq, and obviously in the northern areas with the work that the Americans have been doing, and certainly with the Kurds. And let's also be clear that the Americans were responsible for raining down thousands of rockets on Iran during the Iran-Iraq war for 10 years when they supported Saddam Hussein. So they have a very legitimate feeling as to why they would target an individual like that on painting on a missile rather than launching directly into Saudi Arabia, which obviously is called for, and certainly the United States needs to be actually put in its place as well for all the activity that they've been causing in the region.
Okay, now let's go to William Morris in London. William, you know, the Ahvazia terror group, the one that's responsible together with Daesh for this attack on Iran, they have their leader based in the Netherlands. And the Saudi-funded TV channel, for the confusion that's talked about, why Saudi Arabia, it's a Saudi TV channel that interviewed him, and it's a Farsi-speaking TV channel, just 1 hour or just hours after the terror attack in Ahvaz. That's also based in London. Now, Iran is asking now, how come some European countries shelter terrorists and then speak of human rights and campaign against terror?
Yes, it's questionable, isn't it? The point is that they cannot both be responsible. I'll remind you again, the Ahwazi terror group and Daesh cannot both have been responsible for this action.
They both claim responsibility.
One another. So it is a confusing situation. I think that the Ahwazis probably, well, I would assume that it was actually Daesh probably that were responsible and not the Ahwaz group. I think the Ahwaz group may have claimed.
And the Daesh positions were hit by Iran, which
there's
you call the confusion.
High unemployment in an Ahwaz. There's a lot of pollution. It's an oil producing area. They feel angry, but, well, I mean, the Ahwaz, you can't claim that both the Ahwaz terrorists and the and Daesh are responsible for this action. That's an impossibility.
It's their claim
anyway.
I mean,
the Ahwaz terrorist groups or separatist group, whatever you like to call them, they are Shiite Arabs, and Daesh is vehemently opposed to Shiite Islam. You can't have it both ways. You can't have both of these groups as responsible for this. I think it's quite possibly Daesh, but.
Okay, Scott Rickert, my question was that answer, if you can answer that. Iran is wondering why these countries are harboring terrorists, talking about campaign against terror.
So they don't consider their proxy military forces as terror groups in the West. The MEK is a good example of that, where
exactly.
This terrorist group is being well coddled by the West. Certainly, when the Americans supported the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, where Pakistanis and other folks were brought in, as even Saudis were brought in, Osama bin Laden, who was a Saudi, was brought in as a foreign proxy mercenary. These are considered mercenaries by the West, when in fact, they are actually terrorists, and they're certainly not fighting on behalf of what I would consider global freedom. They're fighting on behalf of global economics, global warfare, and global power. And that's unfortunate, but that's absolutely what is happening, and that is why the West harbors these kinds of terrorists. It's certainly not a Christian or Christ-like way in which these organizations are being used. And sadly, it's a very evil way in which they're being used. And it is something that should be recognized by the world as a war crime, and be. And these individuals that are behind this, there are thousands of them in the West, they should actually be put in front of courts and held accountable, and actually put behind bars for the tremendous amount of chaos and death that's ensued in the last half century.
Okay, to London now, William Morris. Saudi Arabia and the UAE are supporters of Daesh and Ahwazir group that claim responsibility for this terror attack in Iran. Why didn't Mr. Trump mention them as sponsors of terror in his UN General Assembly speech? Instead, he called for their cooperation in the fight against terrorism. And this is where the confusion is, I believe. How can a sponsor of state terrorism and its advocates fight terrorism?
How can you claim that Saudi Arabia is a sponsor of Daesh? I mean, it may be, it's possible that Saudi Arabia may sponsor, or the US may sponsor, an Ahwaz separatist group. That's quite possible. But for you to claim that Saudi Arabia or the United States sponsored Daesh, it's a vowed enemy. Have you never listened to Daesh rhetoric? Death to Saudi Arabia, is putting it mildly. They want a complete end to the Saudi monarchy. They are very vehemently opposed to Saudi Arabia. So, you know, I mean, you can't have it both ways. That's why this whole thing is so confusing. You're
okay,
trying to wrap everything up into one.
William Morris, let me shed light on something that you call confusing.
You've got to choose here. If Daesh is your enemy, Daesh is not supported by Saudi Arabia or the United States.
Listen, the U.S. officials themselves said that. I'm not claiming it, for your information. Joe Biden said this. Hillary Clinton also said that Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE, these are supporting the militants fighting in Syria. That's what Hillary Clinton said, and Joe Biden.
That the U.S. supported
militants fighting in Syria.
Sure. Yeah, but not Daesh. They support.
Who's fighting in Syria?
Everybody, all of these groups have proxy forces in Syria. Turkey, Iran, United States, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar. Everybody has proxy forces fighting in Syria. That's not unique.
Okay, Scott Rickert, let's have some explanation on this. You look like you have lots of things to explain now.
Well, I mean, outside the YPG or the PKK, obviously the majority of quote-unquote militants fighting in Syria are nothing more than foreign mercenaries. Most of these foreign mercenaries have actually come from Saudi Arabia, from Tajikistan, from Dagestan, from obviously all over the Middle East and the Far East, not the Far East, but the fact is that even individuals have come from so far as the United States and obviously from Europe and England. So it's a tremendous amount of individuals. And yes, of course, the factions have changed. And yes, of course, the groups have been conquered on and on and on by Hezbollah, Iran, obviously Syria and Russia. But certainly the supply chain has not changed much for the weaponry, other than the fact that the weapons that were left over from the illegal overthrow of Libya, those weapons were actually taken by, originally provided by Qatar and the United Arab Emirates. They were taken from Libya, shipped through Turkey to forces that were completely supported by the United States, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Israel and others. These individuals were absolutely not working under the auspice of any type of civil war. These people were working under the auspice of a terrorist group, of a mercenary group, however you want to name it. And these individuals were absolutely invaders, not homeland or homegrown forces in Syria. So that being said, whatever name you want to give it, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Al-Nusra, Daesh, they're all the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're splitting hairs by saying mm-hmm. saying that they're exactly. You know, part of a different faction. It's silly. It's just plain silly.
Okay, on that note, I was just going to come to this point to ask William Morris in London, that terrorists are terrorists. You know, does it make any difference whether they attack Ahvaz in Iran or Paris, London, and Brussels that also came under terrorist attacks? Now, Iran is calling this duplicity. Iran is calling this hypocrisy and double standard. How do you look at it?
Well, I think there's a double standard and a lot of hypocrisy from Iran. It's like, and we have Northern Ireland in Britain, and you have the IRA, and you have Protestant extremists, but we don't try and claim that they are both working together against the British state. You know, I mean, these are divergent groups, and you cannot throw Daesh and Ahvaz separatists into the same basket and say they're both fighting. They may be both fighting Iran, but they're doing so quite separately, and they're not both responsible for the terrible terror attack on the 22nd of September. So you have two groups. You decided to attack Daesh, then don't blame America. If you're blaming Daesh, don't blame America. Do not blame Saudi Arabia. It's nothing to do with them if it is a Daesh action. And you know this full well. You know this full well. You're quite intelligent. You understand the international situation. Daesh is opposed to the United States of America and opposed to Saudi Arabia.
Okay, Scott Rickard, could you, let's have your comments. Who, in the first place, gave rise to terrorist groups like Daesh?
Well, I mean, this is a very, simple type of analysis. Well, let's take, for example, the shootdown of the Russian IL-20, the reconnaissance aircraft that was shot down over the Mediterranean. Obviously, that aircraft would not have been shot down had the Israelis not been attacking Syria for the 200th time, by the way, been attacking Syria and bombing Syria illegally. Now, that being said, obviously, they used the same flight path that the IL-20 was using, and obviously the surface-to-air missiles unfortunately shot down the Russian reconnaissance aircraft. But that event never would have occurred had the Israelis not been attacking Syria. Let's just take this other example. Daesh and ISIS and all of these names that you want to give anybody in Syria would not exist had the United States and their allies not fomented violence and war in that region. They would not have had the supplies, they would not have had the resources, they would not have had the intelligence to do what they've done. Okay. So that, you know, obviously the United States is partially responsible. And I actually completely agree that the two groups cannot be held accountable for the same terrorist attack in Iran, because the fact is they're probably not working together.
We're just out
of
time.
The fact is they are both terrorist groups.
Sorry, I have to jump in. We're out of time. I should thank both the people who joined us in this debate, former American intelligence linguist Scott Rucker from Tampa and Next Century Foundation Secretary General William Morris from London. Thank you both, gentlemen, and thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.